All right. What is up, humans and mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I am with Danny. We are back. It has been a while. It's been a year. We left, and now all of mutantdom is dead. Once again, genocide has taken a toll on the X-Men.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. Yeah, I'm not surprised. It happens way too often. So we are starting the Fall of X, kicking it off with the Hellfire Gala 2023. What was the last thing you read, Danny?
It was, I believe, the Eternals stuff, where it was like the AX Eternals Legion thing or special event where the mutants fell again.
Yeah.
Fell for like the 45th time, and now they're falling for the 46th time.
Yeah. They're falling genocide. Again. Falling again.
That old always rhythm. Falling. That the mutants like to play. It's their favorite. It's their greatest hit.
We saw a tease to an end of Krakoa in Inferno, and that was a lie. It's still,
that was it. Inferno was the event, okay, right? Yeah. That was the no. Inferno,
I think,
was,
X came after.
Yeah, that was the Moira initiated event through Orcus. This is, but then they're circling back again.
We're going back.
And Orcus
back
is
here.
Like, we're trying again.
So, we'll see how that goes. Spoiler: not well for mutants, which is weird. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
A lot of good people on this. We got Kassara. Mm-hmm. We got who else? We got Laraz.
Yeah.
Pepe Laraz. We got Marte Garcia.
It's great.
Silva. We got Silva Dotterman, Shitty Valero, Shitty, Kubert Dugan.
Yeah.
Well,
the best artists are working on it. So,
best artists. I mean,
they got them, their A-game
of
artists.
Of X-Men currently. So that's great.
Yeah,
what
the
do
art
you think?
Is phenomenal in
what
this.
Do you think of this cover?
This cover is phenomenal. It's a good
cover's
cover.
Cover's great. Yeah. I like the cover.
Yeah. Reminded me of the old House and Power of X covers.
We got Clubhouse Sinister. Is that what I like to call them?
That's fair. I like that. I see what you did there.
Shall we just dive into it?
Let's do it.
Let's just dive into it. Yes. So we start out this comic with we have Emma and Scott. They're just talking, and they're kind of going over like Miss Marvel and her situation and her mutantdom abilities now, which they get into, right? So talk about it.
This the abilities not so much, but her. Her being a mutant.
Her retcon into this situation. So this was like weeks ago when they were talking about it. And then we cut to
the actual
events. And that's
when they're resurrecting
this
her.
Is when she's getting resurrected. And they explain it. So she's both an inhuman and a mutant.
But her mutant gene didn't activate yet.
Didn't activate when the Terrigen Mist hit her, which the Terrigen Mist is deadly to mutants.
When their mutant gene apparently is activated?
When it's activated.
Which is confusing, because that's not how it was when they did the 198. Because there were a bunch of people who were depowered, and they were like, well, I'll just use the Terrigen Mist. And then that violently killed them, so... retcon.
Yeah,
because you know, in movies, Miss Marvel's gonna be a thing. In the comic books, X-Men comics sell really well. Miss Marvel doesn't. Let's make her a mutant. There we go. All right.
Really lazy way to get.
I mean, that's what's really happening here, and they should have just said that instead of the stupid thing about like, oh, but see, because your mutant gene hadn't activated, we could just use Terrigen Mist and you're fine. MacGuffin.
Yeah, it's. I don't even care that they made her a mutant. Like, I expected this
from
like a decade ago. Doesn't change the fact that this is a lazy way to bring it in.
But I mean, they only made her an inhuman because they couldn't make the mutant movies before. Yeah. So now they're just, it's the same shit. This never ends.
It's an editorial nightmare.
This never ends with these comics and the fucking movies. It's so fucking just nonsense. None of these things have their own free will anymore. They're all tied to that linear like cycle. Of development,
but yeah, so they retcon it. They kind of give a very poor explanation of why Miss Marvel now is
very hand wavy and quick
mutant. Just and like, they're like, all right, cool, you're a mutant. By the
way, she's like, I don't. What do you mean?
Yeah, she's like, wait. To my parents, I think that's what she's like. They're all talk. They like quickly go from like mutant to like Hellfire Gala, and she's like, wait, did my parents even know I'm dead?
Or dead?
Yeah, yeah, what's going on?
I think they brushed over that where like they do, but I think Emma says something about where she's like, I already retconned that out of their brain, mm-hmm. so you're fine. They don't deal with the trauma. It's all very quick. It's all very like, well, you know, I died, but my twin brother stepped up for me, and you can just call him my name, and we'll act like we already knew each other. We could skip that awkward get to know each other fans.
Yeah.
Quick.
They're really pushing this like past. They just want
to. It's done.
She's mute now. It's cool.
I mean, the last picture towards the end is like Miss Marvel issue one, the new mutant. It's not even New Mutants. She is the new mutant.
New mutant.
And she just has her normal uniform, but mutant colored or X-Men colored. Yeah, with her scarf, her Shinobi scarf.
I do like the scarf, actually. I
hate anything that reminds me of her.
So Jumbo Carnation's all about that. She's prepping.
He's like, you're mean, let's make you a costume. This. And she's like, nah, I'm not into this. I'm like, you jerk.
Yeah.
Let Jumbo Carnation do what he does best. Let him. Make a dope ass costume.
This is what he does.
You.
This is what he does, which yeah. we see as the party gets started. Like, even remember the lighthouse dude.
Yeah, he's at that thing with the lighthouse dude.
And Jumbo Carnation was like, oh, this guy. I'm into this.
Cut back to lighthouse dude, and his nipples were like pierced, and he's like playing with them. He's like, yeah, Jumbo Carnation, yeah. I'm also into this.
So they're all into it. So we just kind of jump into the Hellfire Gala. It's happening.
It's kicked off.
Things are going on.
There wasn't so much introduction to people arriving like the previous ones.
Yeah.
It's more of just, it's...
It's
yeah.
happening.
The gala itself is almost inconsequential.
Right,
to
yeah.
the actual story.
The whole story itself, yeah, the gala yeah. is kind of just in the background.
Can we take a moment, though, to appreciate how edgelord Magneto is?
Right. Is that
Magneto?
No, because Magneto's not here.
Who
He's,
is that?
Magneto's, where is Magneto? I think he's just retired now, right? Because he died. He died, and he doesn't have any resurrections.
What?
Because he got rid of them.
So he's just an old man
to the Rocky people. I think Storm is the same. She doesn't have any resurrection protocols either.
That's so.
So, but I think Magneto's just.
So who's this guy?
So who is this? Yeah, who?
It's cool. I mean, he looks like how Magneto would I expect him to look with the black and the red.
Who is that?
I mean, that's a cool...
Cyclops.
That's supposed to be Cyclops?
Cyclops, yeah.
Oh, okay. I see that now.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's his old black and red style when he was like a bad guy, kind of like Magneto.
Yeah.
Ah, I see why I see.
Phoenix
I made that
5 mistake. Red colors, black mm-hmm. and red. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everyone's at the party. They're having a good time.
For the longest time when I was reading this, I didn't realize that was Jean. I thought that was Polaris. And then I was like, oh wait, Polaris doesn't have hair like this. Duh.
Yeah. So this is Okay, yeah. So you see here because the
Oh yeah, he's putting it on.
The mid party, and then Scott kind of gets a call from the treehouse, and he's like, all right, let me go handle some business real
Gals.
Quick. Which we're gonna find out is a diversion. A lot of things yes. that are happening are diversions
was
right now.
Planned by Orcus.
Yes.
Carefully. The second time.
Yes. And while that's going on, we get this small conversation between Jean and Juggernaut where Jean's just like, you should put your name up for the X-Men team. And he's
being
like, all right, yeah,
it'd be
I never,
cool.
never thought of it.
And he's like, I guess I could play around with X-Men instead yeah. of beating them up all the time. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I got nothing else to do.
So we see... Kitty, she's just hanging out, literally leaning on a portal, which
she can't use
that'll
them.
Come back. That'll come back yeah. later. So things are just happening. Things are popping off, and then we get Miss Marvel rocking her like 70s like flared bell bottom pants.
Old Wonder
almost.
Woman get ups and stuff. It's weird.
And it looks bad. And we get Charles kind of greeting.
Yeah.
Letting, like, making her feel comfortable.
You get this vibe that the whole thing is a political ploy, though, because they're trying to use her as, like, a bargaining chip to the rest of the world to be like, look, she's both an Inhuman and a mutant, and she's part of our team. So, like, I don't know. I haven't read comics with Miss Marvel, but they're making her seem like she's freaking Spider-Man. Like, how, like, everyone's just going to be like, oh, Spider-Man's a mutant. The mutants are cool. I don't know how many people are going to be like, oh, my gosh, Marvel's a mutant? I mean, I don't know. Is she that popular in the Marvel landscape like a superhero?
She's pretty popular. People love her. I don't think people like her solo stuff. I personally don't like, but when she shows up, people seem to love her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. I guess, yeah, Charles kind of like reiterates that in almost like a straightforward kind of way where it's just like you should be appreciative, but also proud that you're a mutant and maybe use that as like a talking point when you speak to people. Show them how great we are. It's all like politics. It's all double talk.
Yeah. And while he's talking to Ms. Marvel, I just thought this was funny. Rogue and Captain.
Oh, Carol Danvers.
Carol Danvers talking to each other.
Old Ms. Like,
remember
old
when
Ms.
I
Marvel,
took your powers and put you in a coma?
Yeah, and made myself like super relevant in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, where no one was just, it was like, oh yeah, Rogue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She kind of looked like a skunk with that old haircut. She had, like, the Pepe Le Pew hair.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to Rasputin 4. She's kind of introducing herself to Ms. Marvel and talking about how she's
a fan of hers.
She's a fan.
In the future, apparently, she's relevant, I guess. Because, you know, retcons, they got to flush them out.
Yeah. So she's like, I really dig you because of what you do in the future. Wink, wink, spoilers. I don't know. Maybe not. But it's just like, anytime, if you ever see someone in the future that's like, I'm a fan of your stuff, or like, I loved you from something that hasn't happened before, stop.
It's a trope.
Stop.
Such a trope.
Stop. So while that's going on, this is where we're met with Wynn, right? Yeah, I think that's his name. Wynn, and that's when we get this kind of conversation about gods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be setting up, if I'm correct, Jonathan Hickman's new run that's coming out in the fall about gods. Because it's like mentioning like how mutants see themselves as gods, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, so you see yourself as gods. He just questions it, right? Mm-hmm. He's just like, not even like denying it, saying that's funny or anything. He's just like kind of going with it. And that's kind of it. That's it. Mm-hmm. So the tease and we're out.
Yep.
We are out from here. And then, so when that happens, while that's going on, the Avengers essentially get an alert. And they got to take off.
So they all the Avengers leave, and the X-Men who are part of the Avengers team also leave.
Yes, exactly. So they kind of bail. More people are leaving. Again, this is another diversion happening. And
more people leave here.
I think they even mentioned the, I don't remember where it was mentioned, but they mentioned the ubiquity or essentially the X-Men Avengers team post
the Unity team.
Unity, that's it. They mentioned the Unity team, which was like the X-Men
and that's
Avengers.
That's why the X-Men leave with the Avengers to make up. Some of them do.
Yeah.
Like Rogue and I don't know what Wanda. Is Wanda anymore? I don't know
where that's at.
But yeah, those people dip and they're gone now. So the party has less people to help out if something bad happens.
What do you think of the post Avengers, like Unity team stuff? I like
the first time they did that.
Rogue
versus
stuff
the,
was fine, but other than that,
I hated it the first time. Then they did it when the Avengers vs X-Men was over, and they did A plus X, and I just I've always been. Every time they do that, I'm like, no. Because it's Uncanny Avengers is just another trick where they're like, look, the Avengers aren't as popular as the X-Men, but if we put these words and colors close together, maybe people be confused. Movies.
Yeah. So they leave, and when that happens, it's time, Danny.
Yep, it's time.
It's time to announce the X-Men.
Things seem to be happening, but they're like, let's just not pay attention to that and let's announce the team.
Hell yeah. So while that's going on, we get Jean. She's like, all right, it's time. We get the Cuckoos kind of doing their syncing.
Everyone syncs
stuff,
up.
Their psychic syncing.
Yeah.
And that's when all the mutants kind of do their bidding. They bid.
They vote.
For who they want to nominate, and then they vote. It all happens.
So like sync up, they do that, and we're revealed with the new team right here.
And we get revealed with the new X-Men team, which is we got Talon, we got Sync, we got Prodigy, Cannonball, Frenzy, Dazzler, Jubilee, and Juggernaut.
And if you're confused about that, that's not a mistake, because this is like one of the worst X-Men lineups I've ever seen. And I genuinely like Cannonball, like Cannonball,
Juggernaut. I couldn't give a Prodigy's credit. Cool sometimes. Sync
and Prodigy on the same team seems kind of weird. True,
that's the thing. It's kind of redundant there.
It's almost bizarre.
I like Sync just because of what's happening with
him and Talon, but he's sense.
Been on the team already. Yeah, so.
And they already had a Wolverine.
Jubilee.
And Jubilee's terrible. She's not even like a good, like.
Where's her baby? What happened to that baby?
I don't even want to know. They keep Marvel cannot, like, I don't know why people can't get. In the 90s, I enjoyed Jubilee in the X-Men animated series, the original one, but that's it. She has no place anywhere else. Every time they introduced her in movies, it was dumb. Anytime she's relevant.
Not even as a vampire?
No, because that was like them trying to make her cool by edgelording her, and that was stupid too. It was dumb.
But this team doesn't last for more than one panel. No. We got them the next panel, and boom!
Everybody's dead except Juggernaut.
In comes
Nimrod.
Nimrod. And he just takes out, look at Dazzler. Dazzler's in two pieces. It looks like Prodigy's head smashed in. No, that's Frenzy's head smashed in. Yes. Prodigy's half of his body. You see his skeleton just like vaporized away. And
you just see the lower legs of Cannonball flying away.
Yeah.
So that's, which is confusing because if his powers are activated, he's technically indestructible. Yeah. So I don't know how that works, but whatever.
Sync and Talon bailed. Dazzler's
one down. Yeah, Sync and Talon bailed. And then Juggernaut's being thrown, and Jean's like trying to save him.
Like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, she's awestruck, yeah.
It doesn't go well for, I believe Jubilee's first on the docket. Yeah.
Well, she's pretty much immobilized already because he crushed the majority of her body, but she's hanging probably, on, and he's like, "Let me double tap this real quick."
She's probably paralyzed at this point.
She definitely.
Well, she has her hand right. She's about to.
She looks like she's like putting some energy into it, but
about
I
have to do some popcorn fireworks. And right when he just like just bam,
she's like a sparkler in his face, her
fucking head.
Yeah. Jubilee's out, so.
Yeah, so we got some of the team coming in, and
everybody goes on the defense.
Everyone goes on the, yeah. And we get, next coming in, we get Iceman, and he pretty much tells, like, Ileana, takes the team, take all the
everybody get out of here, get Omegas. The human safe. Yeah.
And this and he is starts fighting when Nimrod. Iceman comes in, taking on Nimrod very egotistically, because he's like, bitch, I could freeze like the ice caps.
I could terraform a planet.
And that's when he kind of like punches him.
He's like, I'm prepared. Like,
what are you going to do with this punch? And this just kind of, because Nimrod is a sentinel. He is like the perfect sentinel.
Yeah, he can adapt has something
to anything.
In the simplest way, he can adapt to take you out like in seconds, milliseconds.
And that's what we see here. He just punches him.
He makes a weird like heat spike
that
injects this weird plasma into Bobby, and that is pretty much game over for him.
Yeah,
because he's like, I can take that. There's no problem.
And he just melts.
Just like Senator Kelly in the X-Men movie.
Yeah.
He's like, where's my eye? He kind of freaks out, and he's like, Scott, Jean, Warren, where are you?
Right.
Doesn't care about Hank.
He does not mention Hank's name, which I find funny. But he does mention the original team. He reaches out to them in his last moments.
Yeah, it was very humane. It was like sad for a little bit, but this is all a little absurd. Then, so you're like,
moving on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So people are freaking out.
All right. So
Sentinel's like one Omega down, moving on to the next one.
The X-Men team's down. Bobby's down.
And Jean's like, fastball special with Juggernaut.
Yeah, Jean fastball special, like a psychic fastball special.
Very well animated. Looks
cool. I love that, just like you could see the speed at which
talks
that,
about
like,
breaking the sound barrier and all that.
Yeah, it's very, very awesome. And then we don't see... He kind of chases after Nimrod. We don't see him for a while.
Yeah, they're fighting off-screen while the rest of Orcus makes their move.
Yes.
Just raiding all the different compounds and locations of strategic interest.
Yes.
In the Krakoan structure.
Exactly. Some Sentinels come in, and that's when we get this. I love this. Just out of the portal dances Dr. Stasis, right?
Yeah, Dr. Stasis
and Club Sinister.
Club Sinister.
and Dr. Stasis dips.
Club Sinister dips Dr. Stasis, right? Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That was upside down. Look at that. He's like breaking his back to be dipped.
Jesus. Yeah, so he comes in. He's like, look at me. Little did you know, I've hacked your portals and fucked with your medicine.
The human race is being held hostage. Introducing MODOK.
MODOK. Look at this dude. You have to look at him. Look at him. That's your punishment.
He just slides his face in and he's got a a little remote that's like, yeah, it's all hooked up. I have this generic red button I could push. Look at it. And Charles is like, I'm useless.
to flashback a little bit to some of the Sins of Sinister and some of the X-Force stuff, there were moments where we saw Ben Ulrich, who works for the Daily Planet, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out what's going on with this medication. And you see like little moments of him peppered throughout some of X-Men and him trying to figure it out.
It's like side story, yeah.
Towards Sins of Sinister, he finds out that there is essentially a kill switch or something in the medication that's not right. And
yes.
I don't know if he broke the story or not. I forget. But essentially, he figured it out. And this is where we're going to figure out what that is here. And what it is essentially Orcus is the one that kind of
with the help of MODOK.
With the help of MODOK.
Created this kill switch in the medicine that is now holding everyone hostage.
Yes.
All the humans, essentially.
Yeah, so we got Orcus just coming in, fucking with everyone. We got humans. We got like Wilson Fisk is here. Remember, just not mutants are here. Many leaders, like diplomats, ambassadors, stuff like that.
Royalty are all here.
Strong guys here.
And he throws Kitty because everybody wants their own fastball special.
Yeah, so like we get the Sentinels coming in, and Kitty's is all like, you know what? I'm going to do what I do best and fuck with some technology.
And she phases through it.
Phases through some Sentinels. They look like
Iron Man suits.
Iron Man. The X-Men Buster suits.
Yeah.
Which are Sentinels. They're like Sentinels.
I believe. That was a big arc. Yeah. They've referenced that a few times. They're dusting off a few hits here. None of this is new.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time Nimrod has showed up just to kill everybody. So, this isn't even the best version of that.
No. So that's happening. Miss Marvel's like, I just became a mutant. Is this your life?
Is this how you people live?
Is this how this happens?
Someone looks at her like there's a young, like rosy cheeked mutant teenager, and they're like, yes, as they're like Dragon Ball Z vapored away.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, this is normal. And she's like holding their hand still. That's all that's left. And then Ms. Marvel's just like, what? Just vomits. Like, yeah. She's like, I can't handle this. And Emma just starts slapping her around. She's like, this is just a normal day. This is a Tuesday.
Get it.
You wanted to be a fucking mutant.
God damn it.
Deal with it, bitch.
Yeah. So we see Nimrod do a pretty big Kamehameha towards the... what is that one again?
The Juggernaut.
The building. I forgot the name of the building.
I don't remember it either, but...
It's the Hellfire... It's part of the Hellfire
Spire?
I want to call it that. Okay. We're calling it that.
So Nimrod is not powerful enough to bring the spire down on his own, but when he shoots the Juggernaut with his energy beam, the energy beam is able to reverse Juggernaut, thus creating Juggernaut into a bullet that brings the spire down. That was pretty clever. I liked that moment.
That was cool.
He used the Juggernaut's ability back at everyone, essentially. And that fucking kills. When he does that, it kills like the majority of people who are there.
Yeah. And that's when... we get Jean Grey. She's had enough, and she's just like, stop. She literally
freezes everything,
everyone around, and she just speaks out to everyone psychically. She's like, all right, this is what's gonna happen. Like, we could all just leave right now. We could just all leave. We could all live. If you're part of Orcus, just leave. If you don't do that, we will be forced. Or what did she say? She'll scramble your brains.
Yeah, she'll pretty much liquefy everyone's mind there. Like, just
right
rework
then,
it.
There. And as that happens, we get Orcus is like, all right, now's your time to do that. And when that happens, out of nowhere, with a knife, out of all things, comes Moira.
Stabs Gina.
Stabby.
Right through the throat.
Fuck. Like,
That's good.
Almost like the back.
Back of her
back
throat.
Of the neck, and it comes out the throat.
Yeah, so
that
like
is
right by the esophagus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof, yep. Oof. But Jean's still doing her stuff with her mind to try to keep things going.
So this is Moira.
Has her like evil person rant Moira? Where she's like, I've been, yeah, because but she's cyborg now too.
Cyborg, yeah, she's cyborg. Which, okay.
And Scott's like dying in the background.
So he's dying, yeah, like from whatever distraction they caused.
Yep.
X-Men go in. They're still They're still doing their best to fight.
Because they see Jean get dropped, and that's like that, that's a rallying the thing. Point. Like,
once Jean fell, they're like, aw. Hell no. Let's do this.
Yeah, it was like that point in Invincible when they like cracked open like Monster Girl's face. They're like, you just messed up.
Oh, no. Fuck you. Yeah, and he takes off.
And she's like, I got Charles' hostage.
And that's when all these very powerful mutants stop at the hands of a woman with a knife.
Yeah,
which I found funny.
Yeah, just
one, I mean, I get it. But
one lady
I
with a knife brought the whole thing down.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard.
So he's holding a Charles hostage. Good job, Charles.
You really
made
a foolproof plan here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Krakoa thing. Like, this has all failed so many times already. So now it's just kind of funny. I feel like we've been here. With just this new paradigm that Hickman created, it feels like this has run its course too much.
Explanation of how this has happened to make it not just seem like X-Men are stupid.
Well, they're stuck in like a literal fidget X-Men spinner storyline problem that just keeps going in circles. But yeah, Charles tells everyone to give up, to surrender.
So yeah,
because they're afraid they're going to activate the kill switch and kill the humans.
Yes.
And Charles surprisingly is like, no, I don't want that to happen.
Exactly.
Surrender. We stop fighting. So the fight's over.
Surrender.
Or paused at least.
Mm-hmm. And while that's happening, that's when we get the first
big reveal.
Big reveal with Firestorm and Jean. So Jean is dying. Mm-hmm. She is about to die. So she's using these last moments to psychically project herself to Firestorm. And essentially what she does is going, all right, here's what's going to happen. I'm about to die. I got seconds left. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is inject into Orcus's mind that you've been a double agent this whole time. So if everyone dies here, you will still be here. You'll keep going and you could figure out what's going on with Orcus. And she's just all like, wait, what? I don't know. I'm just, no. She's like, so not prepared for something like this.
She's like, why me of all people? This is so weird. Okay.
Yeah, and we just kind of see some of these memories injected and whatnot. And so what happens is Orcus forces the X-Men to leave the planet. They must leave the planet forever, and they must never return. And I believe what they say is, if a mutant returns, they'll kill one human. If a mutant returns again, they'll kill 10, and tenfold on and on. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's like they're trying to make a ridiculously bad idea to do it.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So they agree. They all start heading towards the portals, which is supposed to go to Arako, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they're supposed to take them off the planet to Mars.
Off to Mars, yeah.
Yeah, so
that happens.
But then there becomes this whole MacGuffin where they start explaining that, well, there's the thing about Mother Sinister first, we'll talk about, because she has her own thing that's like
Mother Superior,
which is female Sinister, essentially.
Female Sinister, yeah.
That is enacting her own plan on top of this, because Sinister already put that in motion. But then there's this whole problem where they're like, well, I can tell them to go through the portals, but there's all the mutants that I trained psychically over the years to fight my telepathy. It's such a stupid fucking like problem that they bring up that they could have just wrote around, and then it feels like this
but they brought it in for no reason.
They made this
add friction
fucking like, plot why? More convoluted, and
that was weird. Although
hated it.
It is kind of worth it just to see Protégé kind of like tackle a bunch of people and into the portal.
Oh no, you're thinking of Exodus.
Yes,
yeah.
Exodus.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, that was cool.
Might be worth it just for
I
that.
I dug that. some of those things were cool, but yeah, this got out of control, and it was like some stupid, like, and they wanted to, it was a secret weapon.
And then they talk about the whole thing, because they wanted
to waste time about it. And you're like, no, this is just like a problem, a MacGuffin right now that you're moving.
They just
past.
Wanted this really cool, like, iconography that you start seeing throughout the rest of the comic.
They
of.
Wanted some Hickman chart throwback, and they did not earn it. It was almost like they're like, can we retcon this in if we're done writing the story? Let's go back and add in this stupid little thing.
Nope.
But their real backup plan is that if Firestar, if she turns into their double agent, essentially, if this falls through.
Yes, exactly. So she's there and she's like, I can't do this. And she's all like, you boss. Blah.
They killed Bobby. He used to be my roommate with Spider-Man.
Oh, man. Right?
She's bringing back the amazing friends. That's how they can infiltrate Orchids.
And then we get this image. I like this, which is Charles like screaming with a skeleton. Why did she turn into a skeleton?
Well, that's what happened to Bobby. Remember? Like when the nanobots like kind of like melt
so
you.
It's whatever is stabbed into her.
Yeah, once that gets in you, it like it's like a flesh eating nano kind of thing. Okay. I guess.
Mm. Okay.
There's a lot of flying by the seat of their pants
so,
here.
So as that's happening, she's pretty much dead, but as she's dying, like
her psychic goes to Scott. Hey, I love you.
Yeah, she tells Scott, I love you.
And then flies over to Logan and says, oh, by the way, I love you too.
And I love you too,
buddy.
And
he's like, oh, you remember me.
And he's like, aw, Gene.
I'll go kill these people.
Wait. And then, after that, he was like, wait.
Gene.
No.
She was like, he was like,
Gene.
And Wolverine was just like, eh, bub.
Mm-hmm. He was like,
you piece of gutter trash.
That's what he says to Gene when she says she finally loves him. Yeah. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I've been a side dude too long. You can love me now, but it's too late.
And what was he doing?
There's probably a whole issue about it and something, but it's like,
well, he's been dealing with like he's been a clone because Beast has been cloning like the savage version of him lately.
Yeah, making him
fight
things.
He recently just got his like mind back, his
and
consciousness.
And then Beast started cloning himself.
Oh,
and,
God.
That's not going.
We're not going to talk about that. But he gets the message. Gene's dead, and he's like, "All right, time to take out some." Pent up aggression.
Time
to mourn.
Yeah. Once he kills everyone in the room.
Murks.
There's
all
that shot with Exodus you were talking about where
and
he's
then, yeah. Them. So, like, there's a lot of X-Men resisting, going through the portals. So, there's just one shot of just Exodus just tackling what looks like, what is that? Hope and.
Well, the five, essentially.
The five. Yeah.
Because
the five
didn't want to leave people behind.
Exactly.
And the psychic control couldn't work on them.
Yeah.
And then Charles just kills Mystique for some reason. Maybe because she had it coming.
I don't get
because she's like, you can't tell me to take no portal, Charles. And then he's like, well, then I'll give you a brain aneurysm and make you fall off this cliff.
And then she just falls and dies. I'll kill you. I'll resurrect you later, I guess. I don't know. I think that's his logic. I don't know.
Thinks if she won't go, they'll fucking kill the people for each one. And then MODOK's like, I haven't done anything but stand here with this remote the whole time, but it was so great. And then the last bit of resisting X-Men try to resist, and then they teleport away.
Because it was all a little
planned part of Emma's plan the whole time.
Yeah, Emma was kind of planning
it. We had a plan where we were going to escape because we knew we were going to lose. This is our secret backup plan. We knew we'd be right here in this elaborate fuck-up of weird shit.
So they portal away, right?
That's the mutant who teleported them away. I don't know who she was.
Who she is?
I don't recognize her. Their gala clothing makes it hard.
It's
sometimes.
So hard with the gala clothing sometimes. Yeah.
Kind of. I'm also getting to a point where like everyone's gala clothing is starting to blend together over the years.
True.
So now it's like I'm starting to think people are other people because their designs seem to be getting reused in weird ways.
But she teleports away and dies in the process.
And Emma's like, this is so sad. Like, no. They're back in the original basement of the original Hellfire, the original Hellions.
Mm.
Old school.
Yeah.
So that's where they're at with Wilson Fisk in tow, who's like, where's my wife?
Yeah, he's just like, my wife.
Someone makes a joke later about him being like,
Someone says like, "Wow, the blob is really tiny." And it's like, it's...
That's great.
That's good.
That's good. So back on Krakoa, we have
Nimrod finishing off Nimrod Juggernaut.
Finishing off. Oh man, yeah.
He's just dragging him. Big bloodstain. Moira's like, "I gotta stab Charles. Why doesn't anyone let me stab Charles?"
So they're planning shit. Yeah. Back over at the Hellfire.
Secret
place.
Yeah.
And they're all like, "All right, we're gonna do this."
Emma's no place. No.
Emma's no place.
Just like Myra has.
Like, all right, Emma's we gotta go through the portal. We gotta go find him.
Let's go find some people.
We gotta go back. She's like, what's his name from Lost? She's like, "We gotta go back to the island." Yeah. We gotta do it, Kate.
Oh, Jesus. Well, it's like she's trying to do like a Bill Pullman where she's like, "Let's do this. Let's rally. We're not going quietly into the night." And then she tries to use the portal and breaks her nose.
And she goes to the portal and smacks her fucking nose, just like Kitty in first issue of Marauders.
Yep.
So yeah, looks like the portals are closed to mutants. No mutants can use them, unfortunately.
And Club Sinister's like, "I had planned for that too." Mm-hmm. And then he's also like, "Let's kill all the humans here because we don't need no witnesses."
Yeah.
So all these diplomats and like foreign leaders and things and what have you.
All dead.
Of like importance are gone. And Charles is like,
"No, why'd you do this?
I set the mutants
followed
away.
The rules and all that."
Yeah. Which is obviously dumb. This is dumb. This is all just.
Charles, you're dumb.
Yep. Yeah, and then
as that's happening, Moira goes in for the kill. Moira's here. I like that image of the sentinel in the background. Yeah, that's beautiful.
That reminded me of Days of Future Past.
So this is Garcia. We switched from here. Yeah, yep. Right here. We're now with Mike Garcia, and it's beautiful artwork. But as she's going in for the kill, right? She's about to stab him. Boom! In comes Rogue. Mm-hmm. Like a beast,
and splits her in two.
Splits her in two. You'd see how she's cyborg a robot. She's all like LMD like now.
Yeah, yeah.
And just takes Charles and just bails, mm-hmm. bails and with the quickness.
She's making like erratic flights so they can't follow her accurately, mm-hmm. and she's just navigating around the Atlantic Ocean randomly to lose them.
Yeah.
And then Charles has this big like epiphany moment. Because she's like, "Well, what do we do? How do we meet up with mutants?" And he's like,
"I can't sense them."
Yeah, you know those mutants that have been forced to go through those portals? I can't sense any of them anywhere in the universe at all.
Yeah.
And so, essentially, that's just like one of those things where you're like, "Oh my God, the mutants are dead. All the mutants are dead.
They're dead. Don't you see? They're dead. They're all dead." And yeah, so like he's like, "I can't sense anyone." I think he says like, "I can only sense like 2% or something."
Well, the people who are still essentially around, not
which is the people at the hideout.
Yeah, and the people that kind of are in special areas. So that was, yeah. Charles is like, "Just leave me here to cry on this island and go figure out things, kill people if you have to."
Yeah, she's just like, he's like, go avenge. He says, "Go avenge them," and he's just crying here on the island, just like, they're all gone. They're all gone.
And then Rogue's like, "What the fuck do I do?" Yeah, and just like, flies off. Right. And she's like, "Well, I guess I'll go kill some people.
I mean, yeah. Ugh. All right. So she bails. Yeah. She goes and avenges. And that is it. Or is it? After we get this ad for Miss Marvel, mm-hmm. we go with a little tease at the end. And they're all hanging out at the Hellfire Gala. They're figuring out what to do. They still don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
And remember that scene where Kitty was leaning up against the portal earlier, right? Because she can't go through them anymore. She leans up against the portal, and what happens?
She flies through it.
She goes right through the portal, and she comes and pops out at the Jerusalem, Israel. Oh shit, sorry, there's like a bug flying around right now. It's trying to kill us.
He wants blood.
It's trying to murder us. Get away, bug. I don't know where it went.
I don't know either.
oh no, what's happening? Help me. Help me. So yeah, she pops out of like one of the cocoon gates from the Krakoa's embassy in Jerusalem in Israel, and she just like falls on the ground.
Yeah.
And there's just Orcus members with guns And she's like, hey, what's up? How's it going, everyone?
Take a wrong turn at Albuquerque?
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
One of those moments.
So apparently she can use the gates now.
So now she could use the gates.
And that's the cliffhanger ending we end on.
So what if they did the hack at it? It did the reverse for Kitty.
Yeah. She can, because it's maybe it's using like nanotechnology to hack it, and she can phase through that, and that causes it to disrupt, and it forces her to use the portal. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe
it's a weird. It's all weird. There's so many new they have so many rules, and they break them all the time and retcon it. It's like, I can't even be excited about like Kitty being able to use the portal. I'm like, who cares? So silly.
And that is where we end this issue. Hellfire Gala, what a bang. How'd you feel?
Hated it.
He hated it. Danny hated it. He hated it.
You know when Nimrod showed up during Second Coming, I believe, or one of the Messiah Complex arcs? Yeah, during that whole arc. Like, that was dope because, like, they already didn't have, like, the recovery protocols. People started dying viciously, losing limbs. Everybody was fighting for their life. It felt weighted. This was just like, done, moving on. A lot of the murders and, like, things happen off. Kind of off panel, so
none of the five died.
They didn't show that, no.
Okay, so
I don't remember seeing that for sure.
Still have resurrections, at least.
I think technically they do die though in some way, from what I heard. But who knows?
We'll see.
Who knows?
We'll see how things go in the future. But after this, we have the X-Men. We got Iceman. We got
He's dead.
The Astonishing Iceman. Come on.
Is there a new Iceman? Like, what's going on?
What's going to happen there? We got some Immortal X-Men that's still happening. I imagine that's going to flesh out Sinister stuff. And we got that wedding with Emma and Tony Stark.
Huzzah!
Are you excited?
Yeah, sure.
It's happening.
Good for them. I'm glad everyone's finding love. So how's it going to go in the movies? They're going to like tie Emma in somehow in the new Iron Man series or something.
We'll see how it goes. But that'll do it for this week. Gee. She's dead. She's dead.
She's as dead as this bug is going to be when I find it.
Yeah, this bug is going to die after this podcast. I'm excited.
It's in here somewhere. I know. It's lurking, waiting for us to drop our guard.
That'll do it for us this week. Be sure to check out freespeechgeek.com.
You did
for
it.
More stuff. We also have our other podcast, Edited Truth. Go check that out. And Danny, always remember.
Mutant and proud.
You can even hear the bike in the background. Oh, yeah.